Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Fort Mill, South Carolina. This is Prophetic Perspectives on Current Events with Rick Joyner.
Welcome to Prophetic Perspectives on Current Events. And we got so many current events to talk about and world events. But I want to talk to you about something that's even more important than everything that's going on, more important than the Ebola outbreak, more important than what's going on in Ukraine, ISIS, anything else. And that is, we're going to heaven, all of us. If you are a true seeker of God, you're going to heaven really soon. I'm not talking about dying to go to heaven. I'm talking about we're going to start experiencing heaven like never before. Now, I had a prophetic dream this week. I spent 8 hours in heaven. It was, you know, I've had a number of experiences like this. I've had encounters where I got drawn up and, you know, when I was awake, all of a sudden I'm in the heavenly realm. I'm in heaven. I've been in the throne room a number of times. I've been in different dreams. I've had experiences like this, but never anything like I experienced this past week. It was on a whole new level. And the Lord gave me the key. He gave me the key to eternal joy. He showed me that every one of his people have this key. We can use it every day. I'm going to be talking a lot about that because we have to use it now. We have no choice. We also have to go to heaven. We've got to start entering more and more into the kingdom every day. It's no longer an option. Now, the world is going to break down into increasing chaos. It's not going to totally fall apart tomorrow or even this year. Next year, there's going to be something happen that you're going to think, this is it. The world can't survive this. This is the end of the world. I mean, there are things coming down on that level, and I'm going to tell you about them. But at the same time, God's people are going to be experiencing increasing peace and increasing joy and increasing success towards accomplishing what they were here to accomplish. And in everything, their lives are going to be getting better and better and better every day. And this is something we have to look at every day. Get our daily bread. This is not something we can put off and say, I'm going to get closer to God next week or next month or next year. Today is the day of salvation. It's got to be a daily thing. And you're going to experience very soon, I believe there's a clarion call going out. There's where I think it's going to be clear that you've got to turn. You've got to seek the kingdom with all of your heart now. You've got to do all things for the sake of his kingdom, for the sake of his gospel. That those who are going on into him, they're going to turn, and they are going to do these things now. And those who do not are going to go on into the chaos that the rest of the world is going into. Their lives, everything else is going to go that way. We've got to make the choice, and we've got to go. But it's easy, and it's the best thing we've ever done. The most fun and the most joy and the most peace we will have ever had. So this is the time. This really is the time. Now, I don't know. I'm not setting a date. By this date, you better be doing this and that. But I feel like over this coming season, this fall season or harvest season, that kind of demarcation is being made among God's people all over the world. There's a call going out. We've got to seek first the kingdom now. We cannot delay any longer in messing around with the things of this world that have so distracted us. Now, that doesn't mean you've got to shut down your business, whatever. It could be a kingdom business. Hopefully it is. But if it's not, you'd be much better to shut it down right now and turn and pursue the Lord than to waste any time on what was not established on the kingdom, because this is going to shake and go away. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. But the good news is we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And you're going to start seeing a dramatic difference in the lives of those who have built their lives on the kingdom and those who have not. Those who have built their lives on the kingdom, I don't care how much the world shakes, they're going to be solid as a rock. And you know what? They're going to be happy. They're going to be full of the joy of the Lord. Not joy at what's happening to other people. Joy in the Lord. And, you know, Enoch is an example of that. And I shared in that my book, The Path, the encounter I had with Enoch. And, you know, I don't know if it was really him or a prophetic experience. I never know in these things, but it seemed real. I'd had a number of encounters with Elijah. Now, that's becoming common, you know, with different people, because the spirit of Elijah is coming upon the earth today to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, children of fathers. He's preparing the way for the Lord again. The spirit of Elijah is coming to prepare the way for the Lord. But I was shown that, I was told by Elijah that he and Enoch had been kept alive so that they would not taste death, so that they could have a part in the purpose of this last day ministry, the ministry at the end of the age. And, you know, I was, you know, I have no problem believing that. You know, Bruce Wilkinson, I was talked to Bruce about this a number of times. You probably know Bruce by his book, The Jabez Prayer, that one of the bestsellers of all time. And Bruce is just an extraordinary man of God I've known and loved for many years, and really deeply appreciate his pursuit of God. He really lives that Jabez Prayer. I mean, Bruce doesn't know how to think small, but he's always looking to extend his borders and seeking God's blessing. But anyway, I was sharing this. He was fascinated by it, and we talked a couple of times about it, and he brought up something I had not even thought about. He said, "Do you ever think that Elijah and Enoch are the two witnesses in Revelation?" And I really hadn't. In the past times, I thought Elijah may be one of those witnesses. I thought maybe Elijah and Moses. I had, you know, teachings on a lot of that, but it was, to me, I was not holding any of it really strongly. I just didn't know. And, but he said, you know, they're the only ones who have never died. And it says, the word says, it is appointed for every man to die once. So that made sense to me. I'm really pondering that and considering it. They really could be the two witnesses. And that's why I know Elijah has been appearing to many, and many are having these encounters with him. And but it's not necromancy, because he never died. He's still very much alive. But in this encounter that he told me I was supposed to meet Enoch, because Enoch had an important message, and I think two of them together have maybe the biggest part of the message of the end times. But he said, you've got to meet Enoch. You've got to learn the message of Enoch. And so I was really looking forward to it. And then when I did, I didn't know what to expect Enoch. I didn't know, you know, I just didn't know. And I was stunned by hearing he was the happiest man I've ever met. It was shocking he was so happy. And it wasn't giddy, it wasn't uncontrollable laughter or anything like that. He was profoundly full of joy. It was so contagious. I felt like maybe stayed with him forever. Oh, it was so wonderful just to be in his presence. He told me many important things in my life. He, I mean, it's great all that he gave to me, but just being with him was the best part of all, just that encounter. And then right after that, I run into Elijah again. I mean, immediately after I turn around, there's Elijah. He said, "What'd you think?" And my first response was, "Why aren't you as happy as he was? And you've been in heaven all this time. How can you not be as happy as Enoch?" And that's when Elijah said to me one of the most challenging things I've had in the last few years, when he said, "I should have been. I should be." He said, "You don't understand, but you set in this life, your life on the earth, who you're going to be forever. Your capacities for joy. Your capacity for love. Now, in heaven, all tears are going to be wiped away. All the bad's going to be gone. But our capacities are being set here." He said, "You know, Enoch lived during the darkest of times, even darker times than Elijah lived in." He said, "But he didn't focus on the darkness. He just kept getting closer and closer and closer to God. He kept getting caught up in God." He said, "I should have done the same thing." He said, "I got so focused on the darkness, so depressed by the evil." The Lord had to even take him and give the rest of his job to Elisha to finish. And he said, "You've got to learn that lesson of Enoch." And I researched. I don't know why I'd never thought about it before, but Enoch really did live in the darkest, most evil times ever upon the earth. And until these times we're now entering. He wasn't overcome by the darkness. He was overcome with God. He's consumed with God. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. We're going to need that joy for the strength to make it through what is coming. But the good thing is, not so much that we have to do it, but we get to do this. We get to do this. We get to do what Enoch did. And you're going to see him becoming an example of those who are truly walking with the Lord and entering the kingdom in the days to come. You're going to know them by their joy. You're going to know them, you know, by their love, by their joy, they're going to be radically different. God's people are going to be radically different. So I was shown this in this dream last week. The key to eternal joy. How easy it is to use that key. How we all have it. Now we've got to do it together. Now's the time. We cannot waste any longer. We cannot put off any longer. If we don't use it now, and if we're not advancing further and further into the kingdom every day, we're going to be falling into increasing chaos, darkness, anxiety, fear, everything else. There's a demarcation, I believe, begins this fall, then you're going one way or the other. We're going to see the Lord sending messengers and starting to remove all stumbling blocks, all of those who are promoting and marketing fear among his people. You're going to see them being removed. All those who are causing divisions, the fault finders, all these, you're going to see the Lord removing them. And one way I hope he removes them is by them repenting and not being those things anymore. But if they want to continue down those tracks, you'll see them being removed. So I don't know that it will all be done this fall, but it will begin this fall. You're going to see the beginning of these things. So I'm going to be sharing a whole lot over the coming weeks and months. The details of this dream, to me, it was far more important than any of the things going on in this world today. I know it's big. I know it's intense. And we do have to talk about some of those things sometimes. But we'll see them more clearly if we're seeing them from heaven's perspective. and we're just climbing further and further into the heavenly realm. And that was, you know, the very first mention of the house of God. That's what we're supposed to be. There's a theological principle of law of first mention. Usually, not always, but when something is first mentioned in Scripture, it is a revelation of its foundational purpose or, you know, main purpose, maybe its whole purpose, but it's foundational. And, you know, the very first place that it's mentioned in Scripture that God even had a house, we're told, I think, given the most basic revelation of what the house of God is supposed to be. And, of course, that's where Jacob had his dream. He dreamed, laid down sleep and dreamed of these ladders that reached all the way into heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending upon them. And he wakes up in the morning, he says, oh, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. And that's what the house of God is supposed to be. Basically and fundamentally, we are supposed to be the place of access to heaven. I think every one of God's people are supposed to be able to enter into the heavenly realm and then to return with evidence of heaven's reality and its authority over anything on the earth. You know, in heaven, there's no Ebola. It can't get in. And there is authority that can be received. I believe there's some that are called to receive it, maybe many, total authority over Ebola. Somebody with Ebola, they come into the room, the Ebola is gone. That person is healed. It cannot live, it cannot exist in their presence. Now, ultimately, I believe the whole body of Christ at the end is going to be walking in that kind of authority over disease. I saw children praying over whole regions and the radiation being removed from those regions just by their prayer, by their authority. So, you know, this is a small thing for the Lord. Our basic calling is to be like Christ and to do the works that he did. And now's the time. Now is the time. So there's a lot going on. You know, we have this upcoming Harvest Conference, October 16th through 18th. It's not a conference, it's a summit. The Lord said we were no longer to call them conferences, but gathering something else. But this one, he said specifically, what we've, you know, for years called our Harvest Fest for festival. And it is a celebration. We will be doing a lot of that during this time, but he said it's got to be a summit. We need to gather those who are the most serious harvesters, who are either in the harvest or are going to be. And I think there's something that we're going to see from the authority that God has given to us and of crossing over the Jordan River. Now, you know, when Joshua and Israel crossed over the Jordan River, it says the Jordan River was overflowing all of its banks all of the days of the harvest. Jordan River represents death. That's why Jesus and John baptized there, and it empties into the Dead Sea, but it represents death in Scripture. They had to cross over death to get to their promised land. You remember Joshua sent the ark, it says, about 2,000 cubits before the people. I believe that was about 2,000 years that Jesus, the ark, went before us and crossed over death. Now, when the ark, the priest's feet, touched the waters of the Jordan River, it says those waters were rolled back. Go read this all in the first few chapters of Joshua. But it says the waters of the Jordan were rolled back all the way to Adam. I don't believe it was any accident. Whatever town or village was named Adam in those days was named Adam. We're going to see death rolled back all the way to Adam, all the way to the fall. And it's time to cross over and take our land. I tell you, there's a company ready. There's a people ready to get up now and cross over. It's ready for mobilization. If you look at the body of Christ in general right now, we're in a pretty sad state. I think personally, my personal opinion, and this is not a revelation, it's my personal opinion, I don't think the church in America may have ever been as weak as it is right now. It's confused, it's befuddled, lacking leadership, lacking direction, vision. Now, there are exceptions to that. There are awesome churches, awesome ministries in America right now. And but in general, it's the worst shape I think it may have ever been in. I think it's true in many other nations as well, maybe worldwide. And I share with you how what the Lord showed me about the last wave of harvest coming, how it was going to come like a tsunami. But when a tsunami comes, before the wave comes, all the waters start receding and going out. And it looks like, many ways, Christianity is in wholesale retreat right now. Christians are in wholesale retreat. Never had more sin in the camp. Never had more lukewarmness and apathy in the camp. Guess what? That should be encouraging us. There's a tsunami coming. There's a massive wave building up out there. And the waters may recede a long ways, but it's coming back. It's coming back. And as the Lord told me when he showed me that, he said, don't follow the receding water. You get to the high ground as fast as you can. And he defined that as being seated with him in the heavenly places. I believe the dream that he gave me so many practical ways that we can day by day go deeper into him, deeper into his kingdom. And this is what I'm processing. This is what I want to be presenting to you over the next few weeks and months. We've got to do it now, but we also get to do it. Thank you so much.
My goodness.
Wow. That's intense.
Wow. Wow. Well, we only have a few minutes to really get into this, but you know, Rick and everything that he shared really highlighted, you know, three topics or three points, if you will, in this encounter and this experience. And one of the things I thought was unique and pretty amazing and good is that he says, hey, we are all going to heaven, and talking about those heavenly encounters being in that realm, if you will. You know, Paul had third heaven revelation, and it's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying that we need to experience God in that place.
Those who are believing in Jesus.
Right.
Right.
And one of the things that he shares that I thought was really interesting in regarding to especially what we heard from Jonathan Kahn regarding the Shemitah was that he believes that this fall, right now, this season that we're in, it is the demarcation where you're going to start seeing a shifting occur and some of the financial chaos that's going to be coming to the earth. He says that many are going to believe that this is it. We can't recover from this, but it's not it. Mm-hmm. It's not it. We can recover. And in fact, that the church believers are going to be blessed in the midst of all of this. So I want to encourage you that, you know, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Make sure that you're standing on the rock of Jesus Christ. Make sure that you have a relationship with the Lord and that, of course, you're participating in God's economy because if not, you will be shaken out. And the other thing he shares, Steve, which he talks about the message of Enoch, which I thought was
that was powerful,
pretty remarkable in terms of joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think about it, like what we were talking about during the break is that, you know, when he was talking to both Elijah and Enoch, when he turned to Elijah, he was so caught off guard. It's like, why aren't you as happy? You know, you've been in heaven all this time, and he says that we're setting where we are forever, presently.
It's our capacity to love, our capacity.
Yeah. And it's like, and I think that was so powerful in that he lived in the darkest, most evil of times, but he did not get caught up in that. He stayed focused on the Lord, and every day he grew more and more closer and closer to God. And I just think that's so powerful, because it's just like, we're setting that precedent now for how we're going to be for eternity.
Right. And it's and it's important and encouraging to know too that, I mean, even Elijah's experience was that, hey, listen, I should have been more joyful. I should have had, and the difference between the two of them, we can learn today and apply to our own life. You can stay focused on the negative. You can stay focused on the darkness, you know, and what, like you shared not too long ago, one of our programs is that, you know, whatever you behold, you're going to become. So if you continue to focus your attention and all your gaze and all of your prayers, all dark centered, then, you know, darkness is going to overcome you. But we're supposed to be drawn to the light. We're supposed to be drawn to Jesus. We're supposed to be soaking in his presence and experiencing his joy. One of the things that Rick talks about that he got in this prophetic experience is he found the key to eternal joy. And the key to eternal joy that was revealed to him was that we can do something every day intentionally. And many times we do, we just don't know. I guess intentionally doing it and being aware of our intention, that we're doing something to bring joy to the Father each and every day, that we can know that we're doing that, we can experience that. And he says, in that, when our aim and our goal is to bring joy to the Father, then we're going to receive of the joy of the Lord. And that many believers are going to be able to, you'll be able to tell who are those that follow God from those that don't, because the major identifier in their life is going to be joy in the midst of great trial, joy in the midst of darkness. And it makes me think about the Bible, when the Bible says that, you know, God will give you a peace that transcends understanding, and the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. And the word transcend means to rise above what you're experiencing. I mean, I don't know if you've been through a trial before where something horrible happened, maybe even a death, and you're saying, right now I should be devastated. I know that this is a really bad thing that just happened, but right now this overwhelming peace is upon my life, and I feel like it's going to be okay. We're going to make it. I feel kind of encouraged. And I think this is the sense in which he is communicating that you're not going to be joyful in the midst of somebody going through a horrific time, but you're going to experience a joy that it's not circumstantial, not to a place of pointless giddiness, if you will, but a place where you can experience the love of God, the joy of God, the peace of God, and it worked really well for you. You know, and the third thing that he talked about, which was the house of God accessing heaven. And I thought that was remarkable because, I mean, isn't that, you know, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Right. I mean, that's what we're praying. We're praying for the synchronization of heaven on earth. That's where we should be living in continually, a place of prayer, believing that, hey, may it happen here. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no illness. You know, we need heaven on earth.
Now, I think about it. I think it's in, I think it was Elijah when he was on one of the mountaintops, and there was all the things coming against him, and he had his servant, and he was all stressed out, and he says, Lord, show him. And he opened up his eyes, and he saw the chariots of fire and angels ascending and descending. It's like when we're caught up in that heavenly perspective, that's how God designed us to be. We're seated in the heavenly realm.
We absolutely are. Listen, do not focus on the darkness, but focus on the King of Kings. Focus on the Lord. It's for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. Listen, set your joy as Jesus Christ today. He is the lifter of your soul. And my goodness, we can have trust in him. Trust him today and put your eyes upon him and watch God carry you every step of the way. There's nothing to fear for those who love their God and know him.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.